Ron Van Dam. He's got what the kids call mad skills, which he thought meant he was really good at being angry about everything. Well, live and learn. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, whatever.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. How are you? Oh my God, how are you? Hey, thanks for stopping by. Let me introduce some of the people that make this show possible very, very quickly because I am legally bound to do so. I'm bound to do it right now. There's John Shanahan, a comedy writer, does the announcements on the program. He's one of the funniest guys I've ever known. Wonderful, wonderful gentleman. He has his own show called Hypnagogue. Google that. He loves to be Googled, especially when he doesn't know he's going to be Googled. Google behind his back. He loves that. Do that. Also, if you go to newenglandbroadcasting.com, our main website, you'll be able to see information about him. Then there's Jason Shaw. He's a composer and performer. He does our opening theme and our closing theme and many of the incidental musics that you hear on this program. I don't know if musics is a proper term. Jason Shaw, ladies and gentlemen. And then there's Nicole Reed. She's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. But also, and more significantly, she books many of the national interviews that we do on this show. And those are just some of the people. And then there's you. I've just gotten word from the kitchen. Don't eat the bologna. Not good. All right. Stop it. Just stop it. I don't know what day of the week this is because it doesn't matter. Have you noticed? I don't know if you've noticed this. The days of the week end in the word day. Did you notice that? Like Monday, it ends with day. So you know it's a day. It's Monday. It's the day of Muns. There are a lot of Muns, and we celebrate Muns on Monday. Then there's Tuesday, where you get two for the price of one. I think that's what that means. And then there's Wednesday, when people actually get married. Weddings on Wednesdays makes sense. That's where they got the name from. Then there's Thursday, when you have a really big Thurs. Then there's Friday, where you eat fried foods. You batter them up, throw them in the fryer later, and you got yourself a Friday meal that is just wonderful. Who doesn't like a fried meal and a lot of cholesterol running through your veins? Then there's Saturday. What do you do on Saturday? You sit around. Hey, Ron, what'd you do yesterday on Saturday? I sat. I just sat because that's what you're supposed to do on Saturday. It's the weekend. You just chill out and you just sit. You just sit and therefore you've sat. And that's where they got Saturday. And then there's Sunday, when the sun comes out and we worship the sun like some type of ancient civilization. That's the sun day. They all end in day. That's how you know it. I was speaking to this lady, and I use her term loosely, lady, kind of, and she was just, what's the phrase? Moron. She was I don't like to use that phrase because it has bad connotations, but she was one. She was a moron. But only in the sense, only in the loose sense that she was extremely stupid. And I don't know why she was so stupid, but she was, and it was fascinating speaking to her because of her stupidity. It was so obvious and so riddled with stupidity that I found it fascinating. I couldn't look away. It was like a bad traffic accident. She was just amazingly stupid. We were talking, and it was about the sunset. And she said, isn't that a beautiful sunset? And I said to her, yes, it is. And she says, I love the sunset, and I love sunrise when the sun comes up from behind the horizon there, behind the mountain. And I said, well, first of all, there's no mountains over there. And secondly, the sun doesn't come up. She says, yes, it does. It comes up in the morning. It goes down at night. I said, all right, it appears that way. But you do realize the sun doesn't move. She says, well, of course it does. Because in the afternoon, it's like way overhead. And then toward the end of the day, it's like all the way over there behind those trees. And I said, no, the sun doesn't move. I said, the earth rotates. And it appears that the sun is moving in the up above, but it's not. We're moving. The sun stays still, relatively so. But yeah, it's the earth rotates. She says, it doesn't rotate. The sun and the stars do. You're a moron. And I mean that term in a very classical way that you are incredibly stupid. Well, she argued with me. I said, you probably believe that the world is flat. And she said, no, that would be stupid. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I said, well, what if I told you that Trump thinks that the world is flat? She said, oh, okay, then it is. Okay, now I understand. Now I get it. I told her that the earth revolves. And she says, well, if it did, wouldn't we be like falling down all the time? It doesn't move that fast, honey. It's not a Disney World ride. It's not a theme park. Oh, my God. So I had to probe even deeper and figure out just how stupid is this woman. Found out it goes even deeper. We were talking about Jurassic Park for some reason. Actually, I quizzed her on it because I knew this was going to be interesting. And I said, do you see the movie Jurassic Park? And she said, which one? And I said, okay, all right. Basically, they're all the same, same plot. People are chased by dinosaurs. I don't think there's really a designation between them. They're all over 2 hours long. They're kind of all the same. Even the characters don't change that much. Anyway, I said, did you see Jurassic? She said, oh, yeah, I like Jurassic Park. You know, it's amazing that people used to live at one time on the planet with dinosaurs. And I said, okay, here we go. I said, you know, that's not true. Human beings and dinosaurs never existed on the planet at the same time. And she said, yes, they did. Didn't you watch the Flintstones when you were growing up? I said, yeah. She said, well, there were dinosaurs. Some of them were pets. People lived in caves that had furniture. And there were dinosaurs all over. And they used the dinosaurs in construction jobs and things like that. And I said, okay. Flintstones, not a documentary film. She said, well, it was symbolic of what actually happened, where people had to be very careful of dinosaurs, and it was very dangerous. And, let me explain something to you. There were like millions of years between when dinosaurs were on the planet and when people started showing up. They never coexisted at the same time. She says, well, then the movies are wrong, right? Okay. I enjoy talking to stupid people, and it's not because, and you know, you would think it's because I feel like I'm smart compared to them, but it's not that at all. It's just that I find them fascinating. I want to probe and see where they came from. How do you, what? The planet's full of them. The planet is full of stupid people. You could take stupid people and have them hold hands, and you could circle the earth 25 times. I made that up. but it's probably true, but I made it up. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Some people don't know where various countries are. They don't know where Egypt is. It's over there. What do you mean over there? It's over there. It's on the other side of the map. Okay. A map is a representation of the globe, but it's not like where things actually, you can't point to it and say it's over there. When I was growing up, there was this kid, I think I was in sixth grade or something like that, and on the wall in the classroom was a giant map of the United States. What classroom didn't have that back then? Giant map. Montana was yellow. Kansas was blue. Each state had a little bit of a different color shade to it to designate that it was a different state from the one next to it and below it and all that stuff. This kid, his name was Johnny. I remember his name because he was stupid. Johnny actually said to me one day, my parents are going to Montana and they're going to take me. Well, of course they are. I mean, what would they do with you otherwise? We're going to go to Montana and I can't wait to see an entire state that has yellow. Everything's yellow. I said, no. Montana, when you go to Montana, not everything's going to be yellow. There's not a yellow tint to everything in Montana. That's just on the map. And the kid said, well, yeah, it's on the map because everything in Montana is tinted yellow. Is that right? I said, no, it's wrong. Johnny wasn't even smart enough to realize, we were in New Jersey at the time. That's where I went to school when I was a kid, New Jersey. I'm not proud of it. I said it out loud. I can't believe I said that, but I did. I was brought up in New Jersey, you know, for my real young years as a little kid. New Jersey on the map was a light brown. And I said to Johnny, I said, well, we live in New Jersey. We're in New Jersey now. Do you find everything here light brown? And he said, yeah, I do. He said, all the dirt and all the ground, it's brown. Oh, you're so stupid, Johnny. I don't know what Johnny does today. He's probably a cartographer, makes maps. I have no idea what the kid does. Maybe he's in an institution somewhere with this lady that believes that there were dinosaurs and people together. I really don't know. It's a fascinating world, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you think that there are zombies walking the planet, you know, and there's going to be a zombie invasion or a zombie apocalypse. It's not the zombies you have to look out for. It's the stupid people who are literally zombies. They shall inherit the earth. Not the meek, the stupid. Politically, we're in a transformation between stupid people and people that aren't stupid. And I'm not going to get into political conversation. But I think you know where I'm going with that. By the way, just to touch upon this, yesterday Donald Trump was found liable, guilty, of harassing, accosting, sexually abusing this woman. Back in the 80s, 90s, whatever it was. And she also accused him of rape. He was not found guilty of rape because they couldn't prove that at this point. But they did prove quite obviously and easily that he sexually abused her. Trump is now a sexual abuser. We all knew that, but now this is in a court of law. It took the jury a little less than 3 hours to deliberate and come up with the guilty verdict. 3 hours is kind of just enough time to go to the bathroom. It's amazing. Donald Trump has to pay $5 million to this woman, which is good. Besides the sexual abuse, which was proven in a regular court of law, in a libel civil case, they also found Trump guilty of harassment and defamation of character. Trump's entire career has been defamation of character. He calls people incredibly demeaning names. He destroys their reputation. He publicly demeans them, causes them pain, hardship, loss. In his little Trump mafia way, he intimidates, etc. Verdict, guilty. Trump is obviously going to challenge this in appeals court. His comment was this. He said the jury was a joke. The trial was a joke. No, Donald, you are the joke. Start looking at yourself. Okay, I'll touch upon that in the near future again. I'm still, since 2015, I've been in this fantasy with this Trump guy where someone must pinch me and say, Ron, this was not real. It wasn't real. It was just a bad dream. Oh, okay. The destruction of society. Destruction of a political party. That was just a dream, thank God. Okay, I move on. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, my guest will be joining me for today. And then there'll be more program to enjoy. And that'll be wonderful.
Everyone's doing a chicken sandwich these days, but nobody does it quite like Burger Guy. Introducing Burger Guy's new all-beef chicken sandwich. It starts with three of our signature paper-thin patties and a hearty helping of our something-like-cheese sauce on a delicious day-old bun. So what makes it a chicken sandwich? Well, every Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is topped with a crispy, Cajun spice free-range chicken beak. It's the tastiest part of the chicken. Science tells us so. The new all-beef chicken sandwich. Available for a limited time, only at Burger Guy.
The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is available as a meal combo with the Burger Guy metric ton of fries and keg of soda. The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich contains less than 2% chicken by weight and should not be confused with a chicken sandwich containing more than 2% chicken. Consult your physician before eating anything at Burger Guy, ever.
Amy Meyer joins us. She's manager of primate experimentation campaigns for people for the ethical treatment of animals, PETA. We speak to them frequently and happily so. Thanks for being with us today, Amy.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, we talk about a lot of things about the treatment of animals, and unfortunately, there are many categories to this conversation. And today we're talking about taxpayer-funded laboratory experiments, and we've known for a long time through our recent history that there are experiments performed on animals which shouldn't really happen, but certainly not in an inhumane manner. And I guess this problem is still a problem.
Unfortunately, it is. Yes, more than 100 million animals are still being tormented and killed every year in the U.S. and these completely worthless experiments that aren't translating to, you know, treatments and cures for human diseases. And there's still actually no such thing as an illegal experiment in the U.S., no matter how ridiculous or cruel it is.
Yeah.
So anything at all can be happening to these animals inside these laboratories. We see experimenters severing the spinal cords of monkeys. They're implanting electrodes in the brains of cats, forcing dogs to inhale toxic chemicals, and, you know, terrorizing mice by forcing them into inescapable beakers filled with water. But this animal experimenting industry knows that the public will be outraged when they see how their taxpayer dollars are being used to deliberately injure and kill these animals. So they fight tooth and nail to try to prevent the public from seeing what's going on in these laboratories.
Well, but it's all done publicly. They say it's done in the name of science and medicine in order to advance the well-being of human beings. But that doesn't sound like that's the case at all. And even if it is, it still doesn't work out for us.
Yeah, that's right. The suffering and death of these animals is just unjustifiable. Looking at their own data, The NIH, the National Institutes of Health, which funds and uses, you know, about $20 billion of our taxpayer dollars every year into these animal experiments, they themselves have found that a whopping 95% of new drugs that look safe and effective in animals goes on to fail when it gets to human clinical trials. And a former director of the NIH admitted that testing on animals isn't working and we should be adapting new methodologies that are more relevant in humans. But the NIH continues to just dump $20 billion U.S. taxpayer dollars every year into these experiments involving animals. And there's alternatives that exist that we could be investing this money into to get the human relevant data we need to start getting more cures for treatment and treatments for these human diseases.
Yeah. I mean, you know, do it on humans where it's going to end up anyway, but they've got brains enough to do it willingly or say no. Animals don't have a choice. They are just executed in a sense. I mean,
That's absolutely right. They're not able to consent at all. Whereas, right. You know, human clinical trials, there's rigorous, you know, things in place now in this country to make sure these people are consenting and know the risks they're taking to be involved in these clinical trials.
Yeah. You made an interesting point. I mean, I was going to say as an analogy that, you know, we knock down houses and displace people to build a highway because it's for the embetterment of society. But this embetterment argument apparently doesn't work, but most of the public thinks that that is okay because it does work, but you're saying it doesn't.
That's right. Yeah, it doesn't even work. And, you know, there's these, you know, studies for new drugs that aren't even working. And then there's other experiments that are just so ridiculous, it's hard to even know how they got federal funding in the first place. Yeah. Like, PETA exposed an experiment happening at Oregon Health and Science University where they were using taxpayer dollars to get prairie voles drunk and on the equivalent of 15 bottles of wine a day. And then they were trying to see whether these drunk voles were more likely to cheat on their partners.
No.
It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Seriously?
Yeah. And,
whoa.
Yeah. And so it's almost not surprising that when PETA requested video footage that we knew was happening of this experiment, we were given the runaround for nearly a year from the university. And after we filed a lawsuit, we were informed that the experimenter destroyed this footage.
Yeah, of course.
We didn't stop there. We ended up hiring a computer forensics expert, and they were able to find the footage on a laptop of one of the experimenter students. So we were still able to publicize these absurd tests. But, you know, there's just, you can't imagine something so ridiculous that hasn't been tried on an experiment in animals. I mean, it's just absurd what's happening to these animals.
You know, there's a very successful campaign. I think Melissa Manchester does a song in the background, and it shows all these sick puppies and animals, emaciated, missing limbs, etc. And everybody cries, and they get donations, which is fine. I think it's a little, you know, manipulation, but whatever. I'm just thinking if people ever saw what really goes on, some type of laboratory film showing the animals actually being tortured, which is what's happening, that there would be a public outcry. Why do you think that this footage and this situation is not physically seen by people, which would kind of solve the problem?
Yeah, well, you know, one reason is because even though these public universities and government agencies are required under the law to be transparent, they're still fighting tooth and nail to prevent us from getting these documents.
Yeah, and that's why.
You know, it's exactly like you're saying. It's because they know taxpayers are going to say, wait, you're spending my money to do this to animals? You're spending my money giving these dogs, breeding them to have muscular dystrophy that makes them so ill they can't even walk, and some of them struggle to breathe? Like, that is what, you know, it does make people very upset. But, and anytime PETA does get these videos, we make it a point to publish them. We think everyone has a right to know, so you can see how your money's being spent. And then you can take action with us at PETA.org. You can see the footage of what's happening in some of these laboratories for yourself. And we encourage everyone to go see it. And then, you know, we've developed some really great opportunities to take action, to start telling your member of Congress, to start, you know, let's endorse PETA's research modernization deal, which outlines a strategy to phase out the use of animals in favor of human relevant research methods that don't involve any harm to animals. So, you know, we encourage everyone to go to PETA.org. You can learn all about what's happening to these animals, and also, you know, step up and help us to try to get these, you know, better research methods installed instead.
Yeah. I mean, all it takes is for one taxpayer to write to his or her Congress or person or representative and say, this is a problem, and if you can't make any headway in it, I'll vote for somebody that does. That's enough to get him going.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Couple of letters. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. PETA's made it really easy too. You can just text the word WRONG to 73822 and it'll take you right to our page, where you can urge your member of Congress to endorse PETA's research modernization deal, which, you know, it's already been really successful, but we need more support.
Yes.
But when we presented this research modernization deal to the European Parliament, and their response was to pass a resolution to phase out the use of animal experimentation, it's really making a lot of progress, but we need to see a lot more. We need to stop dumping $20 billion into this useful, wasteful, and cruel system every year, and start really, you know, putting the money where it counts into human relevant non-animal research methods.
Absolutely. Okay, one more time, give us those connection things and also the website.
Oh, yes. So you can go to PETA.org, and again, you can text the word WRONG to 73822 to urge your member of Congress to endorse PETA's research modernization deal.
Great. Amy, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, not about that subject, but still a pleasure speaking to you. And unfortunately, there are more things to talk about, and I'm sure that we'll be doing that in the near future. But yeah, I mean, everybody's just got to open their eyes here and stop being so stupid about turning the other way and get this done.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. Thank you. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Yes, I'll be using different words to talk about different things. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.